It's possible to get into Barnes Lake from the ocean, but only at high tide and a small boat. Doug Rhodes lives around the corner in Kaufman Cove, an ex-logging town with a winter population of around 100 people. He says the two entrances to the lake can be tricky to navigate.
The north entrance is like a class 4 rapids at maybe 2 hours after the tide, and south entrance is a waterfall.
So it was a bit of a surprise when two killer whales found their way into the lake in mid-August. Rhodes says at first, people were more curious than concerned.
It was kind of a novelty thing. You know, there's whales in Barnes Lake. Everybody just figured they'd get out on their own.
But the window around high tide is short, and the entrances to the lake are small. The whales didn't get out on their own. After a couple of weeks, folks in Kaufman Cove called the experts. Biologists from NOAA's Whale Stranding Hotline gathered a group of researchers and scientists with experience in orca live strandings. They were concerned about the whale's body condition. The lake is freshwater fed, so it's less salty than the ocean, and orcas need salt water to survive. Jared Towers is a killer whale specialist with the Canadian government. He says he knew it was possible the whales could get out on their own, but there was another possibility.
They end up dying in there. And dying a slow death because they're basically starving to death.
That's because these were bigs, or transient killer whales. They eat mammals, not fish. Barnes Lake is full of salmon, but not many seals and sea lions. The response team decided that their best chance of getting the whales out was during the big tides in late September, a few weeks away. They would use nets in the water, which the whales experience as a barrier, and they would herd the whales using sound by submerging metal pipes in the lake and banging on the exposed end. The townspeople kept the scientists updated on the whale's health with photos. From these photos, Towers was able to identify the whales. One was a full-grown male, the other a juvenile male. Towers even knew which orcas they traveled with in the past. And not only that, he had actual recordings of those travel partners. The recordings could be played underwater to lure the stranded whales toward the sound, a technique called playback. Chloe Kotick studies Biggs killer whales for her doctorate degree at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She says the barrier nets and sounds of metal pipes are stressful to whales. She says playbacks can be really effective, but they're also stressful.
When you play a recording of a killer whale that isn't really there, for them it's like seeing a ghost.
Kotick and Towers arrived with two other scientists a few days before the high tides. More than 6 weeks after the whales were spotted, 14 small boats filed into Barnes Lake. They were carrying nearly half the population of Kaufman Cove. Towers and Kotick started the playbacks, luring the whales toward the North Channel. Volunteers in the boat banged the submerged pipes to urge them on. At first, it seemed to be working. The whales responded to the playbacks by breaching and slapping the water with their tails. They followed the sound and entered the North Channel. The boats lowered nets to keep the whales from turning back. But a thick kelp bed was blocking the entrance to the channel. Time was short. The tide was going out. Tower says he knew it was their only shot that day.
If that whale and the other one didn't make it through the kelp, our window was over.
Then the bigger whale turned and swam back into the lake, ignoring the nets and sounds of the pipes. The younger whale was close behind. Tower says even the boats were in danger of getting stranded in the lake. Rapids were forming in the channel.
We just radioed to the others and just said, you know, our time's up.
Kotick says, based on the weather forecast, they likely only had one more day to get the whales out. But more than that, she was worried they'd already asked too much of the volunteers.
These people in Kaufman Cove have already given us so much of their time and their energy and their help, and we didn't get them out today. How much can we really ask of them? Are they still going to be willing to help us out with this tomorrow?
But when they got to the dock at Kaufman Cove, the volunteers were waiting, ready to make plans for the next day.
It was such a weight off of my shoulders to realize, like, oh my God, they're still in it with us. They haven't lost faith in us. They haven't lost hope.
The next day, they started at the south entrance, which was free of kelp. This time, when the whales heard the playbacks, they were all business. Rhodes and Fecko were in a boat with nets.
So they got out in the middle and played this playback. We looked up and we see the whales coming towards us now, and they're picking up speed. As he's playing this, whale sound.
There was a bow wake in front of these whales, and so they were just booking it.
As they charged toward the playback of their friends, the whales called out. The scientist's underwater microphone picked up the sounds.
we were just standing there hearing whale sounds across the water as they came by. And there were people whooping and hollering and cheering. There were people crying out there.
As they neared the southern entrance, one of the whales dove deep.
Do you see both whales behind the channel?
I only saw one.
They had to wait to deploy the nets until both whales were past and in the channel.
What's that?
There's two. Right there. There they go. Go.
They got the net out behind the whales, but Rhodes says it hardly seemed necessary.
At that point, those guys were probably going 10 knots. They just didn't think twice. They just busted right on out of there.
The playback boat led the whales through the channel. The southern entrance is long and windy and rocky. Towers said it took 10 to 15 minutes to pass through.
I was holding my breath for a long time. I told myself, okay, when they're past the maple tree, we're good. Because there's this beautiful big Canadian maple on the shoreline at the beginning of the south channel.
They passed the maple, and they kept swimming, out into Lake Bay and then beyond. The boat followed them for a couple hours. Kotick says they weren't sure how the pair would adjust to their freedom.
We just saw a kind of shift into this much more quiet, purposeful swim. And I think it was because they were starting to hunt. And that moment of seeing that shift was such a relief of, like, I really do think they're going to be okay.
Towers and Kotick skiffed back to Kaufman Cove. They found a celebration in full swing. Doug Rhodes and Cheryl Fecko said the local bar got plenty of business that night.
You could hear in that bar, everybody was just chattering away. And
the bar was hopping. Everybody was in there. I don't know if the scientists bought a drink that night at all.
Scientists don't know where the pair is now, but they will be spotted eventually. Researchers keep tabs on killer whales through photos sent in by scientists and civilians. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Flohr.